Why do some people hate church so much? Real life starts now.
Welcome to Real Life with evangelists Ann and Kathleen Lay, where people with real problems find answers in a real God.
Welcome to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, evangelist Ann Lay.
Later in the show, you'll hear from George Flores, who grew up hating church and rebelled later and became a gang leader.
Yeah, I hear a lot of people say, you know, I believe in God, I just don't go to church. I have that conversation pretty much almost daily. It sounds surprising, but I talk about the Lord a lot. Yeah. And people say they've been through a lot of things, so they don't want to go to church.
Wow. When I was an atheist, I definitely didn't want to go to church. I always thought church was so boring, so ritualistic. It just drove me nuts. I felt like it was almost like boot camp, you know, or like I was training.
Like you had to go or something.
Yeah, it really was that. It was the, I had to go. It was a similar feeling like you got to eat the liver or you better eat all your vegetables. Yeah, that's how it felt like my whole life. And it really was a bummer for me.
And I think for some people, maybe they originally started out liking church, but then something happened. Hmm. Maybe someone in the church hurt them, or maybe a pastor did something wrong, or something happened, and then they said, you know what? I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah.
And you know what I've really found out, even in my life, that people are people. And hurt people hurt people. And when you go to a church, it's like going to a hospital. There are people who need God. There are people who are going through hard times, and no one is perfect.
Yeah.
And that really helped me. And then also knowing that, like, we need to be love. Instead of trying to get love, we need to be love.
Right.
And so when I came with that mindset, it helped me, because there was a time in my life where I was kind of burnt out. I felt like, wow, I've been hurt, you know? But when we're able to cross that bridge and forgive and to love people and to know that we can trust God, but love people, because no matter what, we're people, we're all going to blow it.
Yeah, it's true for those who are feeling hurt, because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24, it says, let us consider one another in order to stir up love. That's what you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching. The Bible commands us to gather together and not to forsake assembly together. And you know, to be honest with you, when I started obeying this verse, it wasn't like I heard the verse and I obeyed it. You know, when I became a Christian, suddenly something flipped on inside my heart. I suddenly was interested in going to church. And then when I went, I was surprised when I actually paid attention and I chose to go. Man, church was the bomb.
Right.
The words that the pastor gave.
Yeah.
It's almost like every single message was directed at me.
Mm-hmm.
And the Holy Spirit started using the pastor, people I'd meet at church, you know, when you're friendly with other people, they were friendly with me, but they'd give me words, not even knowing it. And God began to guide my life. Church is great. If you're not going to church, it's the best thing.
Yeah, and you know, the thing is, if you have had a problem or an issue with a certain church, don't give up there. There's many other ones. Look for the right one and God will lead you. And then be the church, be love, go on purpose to help people to get that healing that they need. And so it's great to have a church family when you're in need too. So let's hear from George Flores, who grew to hate church and went to the extreme of becoming a gang leader.
Real Life is made possible by people like you. We'd like to take this opportunity to sincerely thank you for your generous support. We couldn't do it without you. May God bless.
Welcome back to Real Life. I'm your host, Kathleen Lay, and joining me is my husband, Evangelist Ann Lay.
Hello, everyone.
Joining us is George Flores, and he went from a Christian home growing up. His dad was a pastor, and he ended up as the leader of a gang.
Wow.
Almost died 7 times and eventually hit rock bottom. We're going to find out how. So let's welcome to the show, George. Thanks for being with us.
How y'all doing? God bless you. It's a blessing.
Yes. So I understand that your dad, before he became a pastor, had a gang life of his own, and you never saw that side of him. You actually only knew your dad as a pastor who never cussed, never did anything wrong, and you were in this religious home, and you felt like there were lots of rules. Can you tell me about that?
Yeah, growing up in my home, it was going to church four times a week, Sunday all day. I grew up a very religious home, not being able to, as a kid, even watch Superman, Batman, even play guns, all that, you know. Mm. My parents always said, it's funny now looking at it, but they said that it was the devil. Mm. It was stuff of the devil. So even listening to, you know, at the time the Newsboys was coming out, listening to Christian music like that. It was of the enemy, you know, so it was real legalistic and just a lot of law, you know, and it just robbed me completely. I hated going to church as a young kid. I couldn't wait to grow up and just do me, you know.
Right. Now, you ended up at a young age finding pornography. You got into that at a young age. But on top of that, some of the leaders weren't really leading you. They were actually doing wrong things as well. So you saw some of the hypocrisy in the church too.
Yes, ma'am. Yes,
and that
ma'am.
Really bothered you. But there was a time in your life as you started to go into this pornography and see the leadership, they weren't living their lives right, that you pushed away from God and started turning to the street life. Can you tell me about that?
Yes, ma'am. You know, growing up in a home, being the son of a pastor, you see everything. You know, you hear all the phone calls, you know. So I've seen all that. I've seen the fakeness as I grew up. Not only was I growing up under the law, but that was just drawing me even more away, you know. So when I started growing up, I started tapping into gangs and stuff like that. I had that mentality where if I'm a go, I'm a go. You know what I mean? If I'm going to hell, I'm going to hell. If I'm a fight, I'm finna stump you. I'm finna really hurt this dude because, like, I knew.
Hey, George.
You know what I mean?
Who got you into the gangs? How did you jump from going to church to suddenly being a gang?
Oh, actually, right in front of the church, there's a dope house. My cousins, I looked up to them a lot at the time, and they were leaders in the gang, you know? So I was young. I was probably like 13 years old. I remember I used to literally sneak out of church and go in front of the church to the dope house. And I started smoking weed and drinking. So I grew up with an older crowd quick. So I had to grow up fast.
Wow.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I found myself fighting when I was in junior high, fighting older guys. And just I built up that reputation within my peers, you know? And it just threw me in there, you know?
Yeah.
Wow. So like the pastor's son basically becoming the gang leader.
Yeah, and it's like the people had so much love for my cousin, so much respect that literally because of them, I was right there. You know what I mean? I just had to show up.
Yeah.
So, of course, when I was going back to the schools, junior high or elementary, like I was seeing stuff. People were talking about the fights, but I was actually in the fights, you know.
Right.
I actually had the connection with the drugs, you know. I grew up too fast, man.
Yeah. Now, tell me about your parents. Did they know you were in this gang life? Were you hiding this from them?
Well, actually, I had a lot of masks growing up in church. I knew how to play. Like, whenever it came down to even taking off on the weekends, I knew to say, I'm going with brother this, you know. They trusted me with church people because they thought they were church. We were in church, everything was good. So I say, I'm going to go stay the night over here with my buddy Steven or Joe or whoever. And they thought that because they were in church that it was safe. But in reality, I was going to stay the night over here with this chick. And this is by this time, I'm 15 or 16. I was going to the clubs, you know. I was saying I was staying the night over here and that I was just going to go to church on Sunday. But actually, I was going to the club Saturday night and coming in all hungover Sunday, you know what I mean?
Right.
Which gave me a bigger high tolerance of alcohol because I could not have a hangover because they would see me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It was just a lot. I fell in love with it. I can't even describe it. It's just like the spirit of pride, the spirit of anger, the spirit of addiction just grabbed me at a very young age and I could not control it.
Now, there was a time in your life when you were a little boy where you weren't allowed to have a sword. And that made you so mad that you said, when I turn 18, I'm going to get a gun. It was a specific one. Tell us about that.
So like I said, growing up in a legalistic home, a religious home, I couldn't play around with toy guns. I remember this one event in my life. I was in third grade and I was actually involved with this program at the school called Accelerated Reader, which is this program, you read a book and you take a test on Friday and you tally up points. And then on Friday, they will bring a store and you could buy pencils, erasers. So I was leading the school and I had 100 points. So I was like, man, I'm gonna give me a T-shirt. I'm gonna give me this sword that I've been looking at. It was this plastic sword that lit up in different colors. So I got the 100 points. I went that Friday, got the sword, got my shirt, and I took it home because I couldn't wait to get home because I wanted to see how I looked in the dark, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. And I knew that I couldn't have the sword because my parents would whoop me, you know?
Yeah.
So I ended up hiding the sword underneath my bed, went to school Monday. and my mom found it in the room. And when I came home, I'm telling you, they gave it to me. Got it from my mom, whooped me. My dad came home, I got it from my dad. And that situation, it just put a seed of anger like never before. So I say that to say this, when I grew up, of course, I stayed in that mentality. I stayed up in that life. The first thing I want to go do when I turned 18, I want to go buy me an AK-47.
Wow.
Under my name legally, went into the gun shop and I bought an assault rifle. Wow. With that, of course, bad attitude, drug use, alcoholism at the time, it just threw me to a whole nother level. And by then, like, I was just so out there that my parents couldn't even tell me nothing, you know? Wow. They couldn't even tell me nothing no more. But at the same time, even their own beliefs, even God in their life, they knew they couldn't push it on me neither. Yeah. You know what I mean? So they lost me completely.
And you were feeling at that time very invincible.
Invincible, yes. Couldn't nobody touch me.
And there were things that happened to you that you went through. And we're going to have you on our next show to find out how, when you were at this point in your life, you've done many things, almost killed 7 times, you actually heard the voice of God. So we're going to have you on our next show to hear more about that. Thank you so much, George, for being with us.
Amen. Thank y'all.
You know, this is a great story to realize that when we grow up and all we have is rules, but no relationship with God, we can really feel constrained. We can feel very restricted, and it can cause us just to rebel. Actually, there's someone listening right now, and you're thinking about everything you learned as you grew up. And then as you became a teenager and got older, you went exactly the opposite, a different way. But you know, when you have a relationship with God, then you start getting the understandings of how you should live life, not from just parents say, but what God says. So Father, I'm praying for someone who's listening right now, and they're saying, you know, I have just lived the opposite, and it hasn't been very good on my life. And Father God, we just take a moment to surrender to you and who you are. Say, Jesus, I want you in my life. I want to start over again.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get the relationship with you so that the things that I follow and the way I live my life is according to you and to no one else. Yeah. I ask for this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. God bless you all. Thanks for tuning in. You're listening to Real Life.